Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. What does that mean? Death, life are in your words, and they will become food to you. Do you realize that you eat your words? Do you realize the words that come out of your mouth are extremely important, not only to God, not only to others, but they are fruit that you yourself will eat? We are told in Jesus' teaching in the book of Matthew that every spiritual thing happens like this. The kingdom of God is established in the depth of our heart. Here's what Jesus said. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. And it's happening right now. The word is coming forth. The enemy is snatching it away. But he says this word is designed to be sown in the heart. Everything that comes from heaven has to first come into the heart, be believed in the heart, sown in the heart, find soil in the heart, and then from there it determines what kind of life you have. Jesus said that the kingdom was like a mustard seed. It is so incredibly small. Everything God does, the principle of the kingdom, is that everything God does starts small. Things of the kingdom, the principle of the kingdom is God always starts with the smallest things, the littlest things, the tiniest things. And that is where he does his work. In the weakness, he becomes strong. And here is the principle that I want you to see today about your words. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard. A man took and sown it in a field, and it's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nest and branch. Now, we know that this is referring to two things, the kingdom of God and how it's spreading upon the earth, but also how the kingdom of God is spreading within you. Your heart takes a seed, and that seed eventually grows, and you will produce fruit. What is in the heart will come out the mouth, and this is the process of life. Now, Jesus was very clear that if you're not putting the seed of God in your heart, the kingdom in your heart, what comes out of your mouth by default, all of us, Jesus says, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart and it defiles a person. What is in the heart, and every heart, doesn't matter who you are, without Christ, you have evil thoughts. There's murder, there's adultery, there's sexual immorality, there's theft, there is false witness, there's slander. The normal average person, no matter how good you are without Christ, you have all of these things continually coming out of your heart, spewing out of your mouth. Now, you might be good at hiding that, but that is the condition of every human heart. Here's what Jesus says. He says, now, if there is a good person, that is to say a person who has good soil, and they have put the word of God in their heart, that is to say a good treasure, it says this heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus makes it very clear. Whatever is in your heart will come out. You cannot stop what is in the heart from coming out your mouth. If you want to know what a person is like, listen to their words. Every sermon I've ever preached, every sermon that any minister has ever preached looks like this. The words are coming out. God's words are coming out. The scriptures are coming out. The Spirit is moving. Everything is coming out. The word is coming out. But that does not determine any success whatsoever. It doesn't matter how much the word is preached. Doesn't matter how many words are said. Doesn't matter how good the words are that are said. What it ultimately comes down to is your heart. You're listening to me with either a good heart or a bad heart. You're listening to me with either an understanding heart or a heart that hears nothing. This is always the most important part. Not the word, but the heart. The way it works is this. Let me put it to you really big. Here's your heart. Here comes the word. It's like a seed. If your heart is believing, heart is understanding, what happens next is this begins to grow. It starts as a small seed, but your life should be like a tree. Your heart is like a garden in which the seeds can be planted. If it has good soil, a lot of seeds are planted. But what eventually will happen is fruit, leaves. These, believe it or not, are your words. This is what you speak. This is what you say. It starts in the heart. It comes out of your mouth. Your words indicate exactly what's in your heart. That's the way it works. Here's what Jesus says again. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Listen what it says here. Whoever speaks, it's talking about words, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Here's why he goes on to say this. Neither in this age or the age to come, look what he says here. Either make the tree good and its fruits good, or makes the tree bad and its fruits bad. A tree is known by its fruits. If you hear a person speak against the Holy Spirit, you can pretty much be sure that they don't have a good seed or a good tree or good words. It all comes down to that. How many people have ever played church softball? My goodness. I'm glad we don't have a church softball team. Because nothing reveals, especially men, nothing reveals their heart like competition. Nothing reveals their heart like the pride of the heart when they are in battle and they're losing. We had so many church softball games that the behavior was so bad, the words that were uttered were so ungodly, that eventually I had to say, as a pastor, if we hear any bad words from us or them, we will forfeit. If they're going to take it so seriously that they're going to utter words that are so against Christ, even use the Lord's name in vain, we're just going to tell them, you guys win. We're out of here. If you're going to make such a big deal about softball, we're gone. Now, I had to lighten up on that for two reasons. Number one, I tend to be a hypocrite. Not that I say curse words, but anger in other areas can come out. But listen, sometimes softball was used evangelistically, and sometimes these people were not even saved, and they were on the team, and people were praying for them, and they would come to know the Lord through softball. So we had to lighten up on that. But here's what I want to tell you. The principle of watching words and listening to our words that come out of our mouth is highly proper because they reveal what's in our hearts. Jesus is saying, you've got seed in you, it's going to grow a tree, and when that tree is grown, it's got to produce fruit that brings life. This is what Ezekiel saw. Now, he sees something that is eventually coming in the future. He sees water flowing out of the sanctuary, and he sees that there are fruit that will be food and leaves that will be healing. What he is seeing is the New Testament church. Jesus put it this way. He says, now, soon, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures say, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The plan is that God plants a seed in our heart. A tree grows. Fruit comes on it. Well, let me show it to you this way. Your heart, the seed. Then comes words that we speak. Then those words fall into the living water. And this brings life to everyone. It brings life to your wife, brings life to your husband, brings life to your children, brings life to your neighborhood, brings life to your nation. This is the plan. Seed, words, life. Again, how important is this? It's very important. The fountain of life are words that we speak that go forth out of our mouth. Again, by default, if you don't have the Spirit, you are spewing all of this stuff. evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality. How many people know that the church sometimes is filled with people that are not spewing out blessings? As a pastor, this is one of the things I am most severely on alert for. Again, I have to be careful of my own hypocrisy. But according to the scriptures, all cultures are toxic. Your work environment is toxic. Government, toxic. Neighborhoods, toxic. Why? Because the human heart is always spewing out this stuff. Now we're good at pretending, you know. But listen, the church can never be toxic. When we start going into this mode of attack, I'm attacking you for your lifestyle. I'm attacking you. This is the toxic is in the church, and it must and has to be removed. Nobody was better at explaining this than James. He says, listen, I want to be very clear to you about this. He says, once there is bitterness, once there is jealousy, once people get selfish ambitions in their heart, things they want to do, they're jealous of things that are happening in other people's lives, they have selfish ambitions, things they want to do. James says, don't boast, this is not good. He says, this wisdom doesn't come from above. What you have here is something earthly. What you have here is something unspiritual. He goes on to say, what you have here is demonic. Bitter jealousies, selfish ambitions. A demon is now in your midst. Listen to what he says. For where jealousy and selfish ambition... Notice he singles out jealousy. He singles out selfish ambition. He says, if these things exist in your midst, so does disorder and every vile practice. What he's really saying here is you got to deal with this. You cannot allow this to continue. And he gets to the genesis of where it all starts. Here's what he says. He says, listen, I realize you folks are Christians, but I want you to know something. Just because you're Christian, you can't tame the tongue. Human beings can tame everything, but they cannot tame this tongue. This tongue is a relentless, never-stopping evil. And it's full of deadly poison that once it gets going, it wants to poison everything. And he says, I want to tell you about your hypocrisy. Because he's speaking here to Christian people. He's saying, you get up on Sunday morning and you bless the Lord. You praise God. You're praising Him. You get angry when people don't praise Him. But with this same mouth, you're able to curse people who are made in the likeness of God. You don't see the duplicity here, do you? That you can bless God and curse people. You don't see that duplicity. I'm telling you, listen, from the same mouth, blessings and cursing, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and salt water? And then he gets into the tree analogy because, again, it's the heart, then the tree. He says, can a fig tree, my brother, bear olive fruit? Can a grapefruit produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. What he's saying is what is in you will eventually come out. This jealousy, this selfish ambition you have, if you haven't crucified it, eventually, given time, it'll come out. And it is poison. So that's enough of the negative. Let's talk about the tongue and what it's called to do. 1 Peter puts it this way. Do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling. When people speak evil of you, when people revile you, you should have one position. Here it is. Bless. I will bless you. You curse me, I will bless you. You speak evil of me, I will bless you. Why? He goes on to say, for you were called to obtain a blessing. Have you ever heard the terminology, hurt people hurt people? So I've been hurt. So if you hurt me, I will hurt you back. Christians, I'm going to give you a new one. Blessed people bless people. Hurt people, hurt people. Blessed people, bless people. You want to determine how much of the blessings of God you're containing in your life? How many blessings do you pour out on people? Out of the heart. The fruit of the lips. In your mouth, you have the power to bring death. With your tongue, you have the power to bring life. It is on your tongue. Life, death. But it goes on to say, be aware of this. If you're a blesser, you will inherit blessing. If you're a curser, if you're a reviler, if you speak evil, it all is going to come back on you. You are going to eat those words. Blessed people will inherit blessing. Now, let me tell you the reason why I'm preaching this message. And this may be the scariest part of all. After I preached last Sunday's message about Job and about the fact that he could go through life and experience evil, and by that I mean he could experience a trial in which his family was taken away, his livelihood was taken away, all of the good that God had given him was taken away. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then it says, "In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." And then when he went through physical pain and suffering, he says, "Listen, I've received good from the Lord all my life, and now he's decided to bring evil. I'm going to receive that too." Now, by the way, the word evil means harm. Job is suffering in his body. And listen, this is the point where the Lord really rebuked me. It says, "In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" Remember what the advice was from his wife. She said, "You curse God and then you die." And guess what? If he would have cursed God, he would have died. But instead, he blessed God and lived. And what I want to tell you this is that what I said here was, because he did not speak a word negatively and God put him through this test and he passed, I said, this is the way all of our lives end, because in heaven we all receive a blessing. And that is not what the text talks about. The text doesn't say in heaven you're going to be blessed because you passed a trial here on earth. You did not curse God, but you blessed God. You did not sin with your tongue. The reason why Job was blessed twice as much was because he did not speak against God. The blessing is all earthly. It says the latter days of Job were more than the beginning. And after this, Job lived to be how old? 140. Most people this time, the maximum age that God had given them was 120. Job is into 140. He saw sons, four generations. How many people want to see four generations? It says, and it reiterates this, Job died an old man full of days. The blessing was because he did not sin with his tongue or his lips, God blessed him with long life. Now the Lord said to me, "Why did you not teach that this blessing was not heaven, but it was earth?" And I said, "God, I don't know why." He says, "You go back and you redo this." The Lord doesn't often tell me to redo something, but he said this, "You've got to tell people this. Because this is what the Bible teaches." And what I'm going to tell you now, you may have never heard ever before in your life. You may never have heard this sermon ever, ever, ever before. But what I'm going to tell you doesn't need to be defended by me. Why? Because the Word of God says it. And here's what it says. "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart." Keep that seed. Make sure it grows. It says, "For they are life to those who find it, and they are healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, because out of it is life." Life and healing, 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 life and healing. In the hereafter? No, right now. Here's the principle. Your heart, the seed, the fruits of your mouth, words coming out of your mouth, life, blessing, life. Listen, here it is. As clear as God can say it, listen. What man is there who desires life? Do you desire long life? Who loves many days? Who wants to live on the earth many days that he may see good? What does it say? Keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking deceit. God says, you want long life. You want to live on this planet. How many people believe that it wasn't coincidental that Billy Graham lived as long as he lived? How many people ever heard Billy Graham speak evil about anybody, really, any group even? Now, I'm not going to go as far to say God has reasons. Martyrs die young. Jesus died young. God has reasons for taking people before their time. But what I'm saying is there is a principle here that needs to be taken seriously. And you might say, Pastor, you're taking something out of Psalms, out of the Old Testament. Surely it's kind of obscure. Let me give it to you again. Not from Psalms, but from Peter. Listen what he says here. Put it in your heart. This is the word of God. He says, do not repay evil for evil, revilings for revilings, but on the contrary, bless, for you were called to obtain a blessing. He says, listen, if you allow the evil in other people to bring out evil in you, reviling bring out reviling, you're on a dangerous path. Look at what he quotes. He says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, some translations say long days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You speak enough cursings out of your tongue, you are going to be cursed. Listen, I'm just going to tell it to you this way. You speak enough words of death, death is coming to you. The mouth of the righteous should be life. I want to spread life. I want to speak words of life. So somebody might say, well, listen, I remember things in the Old Testament and things from John the Baptist and even things from Jesus in which he said words that weren't very nice. He called people the brood of vipers. That sounds like he's cursing them, doesn't it? I'm going to just give you a little personal testimony here. How many people have ever gotten angry, said some things you shouldn't say? Do we really even need to ask that question? And then you feel conviction. Sometimes it's authentic conviction in which you really have sin and you really do need to get this right. And other times, listen to me very closely, other times you just want to relieve your guilty conscience. You don't like thinking that you're capable of such bad behavior. So you're going to alleviate that by trying to make this right so you don't have to see yourself as this angry, mean person. So you just want to kind of clear up your reputation in a way. Listen, I've had times in which I've said stuff that I felt immediately I should go and apologize. I started praying and the Lord says, don't you dare apologize. He's saying that was righteous indignation. See, look, here it is. Be angry. We get angry, but be careful not to sin with your mouth. There have been times that I've been angry. I've said words, hard words, brutal vipers, but I wasn't sinning. Why? Because it was righteous indignation. And how can you tell righteous indignation? It's really kind of a funny thing. It's never selfish. It's never about what you did to me. It's about what you did to God, what you did to other people, how you hurt somebody, how you hurt this one. There are times in which strong words are necessary. There have been times in which God, I wanted to apologize. God said, don't you dare apologize. There have been other times where I said, I will never apologize. I was in the right. And God says, if you don't apologize, we got a serious problem here. See, what I'm telling you is the Spirit of God sometimes brings anger. Jesus was not happy when he threw over the temple and the money changers. There is a place for anger, but that anger can never be selfish and never lead to sin. But by and large, the words we speak need to be healing words. And by the way, I believe when Jesus spoke hardly, he was trying to heal them. He was trying to cut out their cancers. Sometimes words have to, in order to heal, have to be strong. But here's what you need to know. that the tongue of the wise brings healing. But if you speak harsh words, it's like you thrust a sword into a person. Again, this can be difficult to discern. But again, what I'm telling you is words can kill. Words can bring life. They are either poison fruit, or they are either poison or fruit, and we choose. The clearest indication is that you will get what you dish out. All those evil words you speak, guess what? You will be digesting every one of them. You love life. You desire to see many days. Keep your tongue from speaking out these words. You reap what you sow. The words you speak are like boomerangs. They will come back on you. And let me just say this. Here's an amazing principle. If you want to live a life that is just in bliss with God, the Bible says God is merciful to merciful people. You become a merciful people, merciful to other people's sins, you will always have the mercy of God. If you are upright and do right by other people, God will always do what is right by you. But look at this. To the pure, he shows himself pure. But with the crooked, he will be crooked to you. He will be shrewd to you. He will put back on you what you put on other people. I've been angry with people. And I said, God, I'm not even sure why I'm angry with these people. And the Lord says, you're angry with them because of the way they treat other people. Not the way they're treating you, but the way they treat others. The way they treat me. Be pure.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.